Well, so glad that you're here today for the finale of our series of messages that we've been calling Signal, How to Hear the Voice of God. And really, today, everything culminates with this message, part four, the finale. And really, here's the answer or the question that we're trying to answer today. What is God's will for my life? So if you've ever had that question before, hopefully we'll have that answered here today. And I think you'd agree with me, but that question, what's God's will for my life? It's a heavy, heavy question. It's a big deal. And for all of us, at one point in our life, we've probably wrestled with that question. Does God want me to do this? Or does God want me to do this? Or really, does God even care what decisions that we make? And for a lot of us, it's a really difficult question to answer. I don't know if you ever thought about it like this, but I have. But how great would it be if God, when we became Christ followers, if he gave us almost like God goggles or God lenses for us to wear throughout our day? Like, how much easier would it be with every decision you had to make if God would say, this is my will and this isn't my will? Almost like Google Glass, if you've seen that before, that you'd have an overlay that God would show you what's his will and what's not his will. So you wake up in the morning, I was thinking about this, and you go to your closet and God tells you clearly you should wear this shirt and not that shirt. You get in the line at Starbucks before you go to work or school, and God clearly lets you know you need the pumpkin spice latte. Get with the seasons. You don't need to go with your macchiato like you normally do. It was just that clear, just a lens, an overlay of what you see in the natural. And God would tell you, you know, which way, which route to go to work. Not the fastest one, but the way that he wants you to take. You get to work or school, and God would tell you clearly, you need to talk to this person and you can avoid this person. And not just that, how great would it be if God would tell you clearly who the one is in your life? Wouldn't that make life a lot easier? This is the one, this is not the one. Break up with that person and move on. If he just made it that simple. Now I gotta talk to the married folk just for a second. If you're already married, you've already chosen your one. I'm just letting you know. And so hopefully you didn't raise your hand a minute ago and said, well, that'd be so awesome for me. But we think that that would make things so much easier. At least I've thought that before. And here's what I know. I know there's people listening in this room live and those that are listening later on that you've got a big question. You've got a big decision in front of you, and we don't know which one is God's will. I wrote down a few examples. Should I take this new job opportunity or should I stay at my current job? Should I go to this school that's close to home for a couple of years, or should I go to a school that's farther away, maybe in a different state? Should I buy this used car, or should I lease a new one? Should I plant my family in this church, or is God calling us to another church? How do we know God's will for our lives personally? I know this is a tease, but the title of my message today is this: God's will is dot, dot, dot. God's will is dot, dot, dot. If you have a copy of God's word with you, maybe an app on your smartphone, or maybe you've got old school pen on paper, then I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 1 with me. Colossians chapter 1. If you don't own a Bible, let us know. We'd love to get you one absolutely free. If you didn't bring it with you, didn't know you should do that kind of thing, it's completely fine. We've got a giant one that will be on the screen here in a moment. But Colossians chapter 1 is where we're going to hang out today for this service. And specifically, I'm going to start in verse 9, and we're going to go all the way through verse 14. And I think it's going to help somebody. Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 9. And if you haven't got there yet, keep on working on it, but I'm going to start. Starting in verse 9, God's word says to us about his will: for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, verse 12, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people, the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. And I thank you for your people today, those in this room and those listening later online. And I just pray for each of us that the ending of this series would be the beginning of something special in our journey with you. God, this is a heavy question that we're looking for answers. What is your will for our life? What's your will for our life personally? And I just pray, God, that you would speak so clearly, that you would speak because of me and in spite of me. And I pray that every single person, they wouldn't hear from a mere man, a mortal, but they would hear from you, a holy, supernatural God who cares for us so much that you want to answer the questions that we have. So may you move, and may you move powerfully, we pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. The section of scripture we just read, it's important that you know this. It's actually a prayer. It's a prayer. And it's the prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for the young Colossian church. And can I tell you something today? It's my prayer for this church. I'm not an apostle by any stretch of the imagination, but it's my prayer for you. It's my prayer for Christ's covenant. And the Apostle Paul shares a few things. He highlights a couple of things that I think are paramount on this topic of God's will. And I've got a few more than normal this morning, so I hope you'll bear with me. But if you're taking notes in church, and you should be taking notes in church, I want you to write down the first one that I want to highlight about God's will. Here's the first point. Number one, God's will is for you to know him more. I want you to write that down. God's will is for you to know him more. Where'd you get that from, Pastor Ryan? Verse 9 and the end of verse 10. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. The end of verse 10, 10b, growing in the knowledge of God. And I hope I'm not the only one that appreciates this about God. I'm hoping I've got some friends here today that you're just like me and you say, thank you, God, that you want me to actually know you. Like, I am so thankful that we don't serve a Wizard of Oz kind of God. That he doesn't stay behind the curtain and have some big James Earl Jones kind of voice that we can kind of hear, and there's lightning, and we can't really know him. I'm so thankful. I don't know if I'm amongst friends, but I'm so thankful that we serve a God that wants us to know him and his will. That he doesn't keep us at arm's length. He doesn't say, you figure it out. I'm God and you're not. So you just get your act together. God wants us to know him and to know his will. So what does that mean for you? It means that you don't have to stay frustrated with trying to figure out his will for your life. We can answer and get answers to what God's will is for us. And not only is that possible, it's God's desire for you to know him and know his will. Here's the truth, and I'd write this down if I was taking notes. As we get to know God more, we'll get to know his will more. I'm going to say it again because it was that good. You didn't amen me, but I'll amen myself if I have to. The more you get to know God, the more you'll get to know his will. And so if you don't know God's will, you got to get to know God more. It's just the truth. In fact, that's not just our relationship with God. It's our relationship on earthly relationships too. It's that way. Think about my relationship with my wife. And I tell you all the time, and I'm going to tell you again because I got the mic and you don't. But my wife is amazing. She's beautiful inside and out. If you've met her, you know that. She is super woman, y'all. She is. I felt that way before we got married, and I still feel that way. She's incredible. And she didn't know I was saying all this, and she's got to get her act together too. She's probably upset right now, but she don't have the mic either. But she is Superwoman. She's amazing. And I remember when we first got married, we didn't know each other very well. We had a really quick dating period. We were engaged short. All of our families were on board, our pastors and all that kind of stuff. I do not recommend it, but we were honoring God and what God had called us to do. When we first got married, we didn't know each other very well. And this has only happened a handful of times in our marriage. But I remember when we first got married years ago, there was a couple of times that she got sick. Doesn't normally get sick. She is Superwoman in every stretch of the imagination. But a couple of times she got sick. And so I thought to myself, you know what? It's my time to shine. My wife is always doing so many amazing things. She takes care of me. How many of y'all know that us guys, we are the worst at being sick? I mean, you cannot find a bigger baby than a grown man that's sick. I mean, some woman should have said amen to that, because that's just the truth. Just the truth. And so I'm like, this is my time to shine. I'm going to take care of my baby, my sweet girl. I love you, sexy baby. I love you. So I'm going to take care of my girl. And so I go to the store, and I'm thinking to myself, like, what do you get a woman who's sick? And for whatever reason, please don't judge me, I just thought that I should get her chocolates and magazines. Whatever reason. Wasn't Valentine's Day. It's just, she was sick. That's what I landed on. Like, chocolates and magazines. That's what a woman wants, right, when she's sick. I don't know. And so I got that for her, and this happened on two separate occasions, so I'm a slow learner. I'm just letting you know. But I got her chocolates and magazines. I think one time we were talking about this, it was even like in a heart-shaped box. And that's what I got for her when she wasn't feeling well. So I come home and I'm like, baby, here you go. Here's these gifts. I love you. You're awesome. You're my baby, my sweet girl. I'm going to take care of you. Here you go. Here's some chocolates and some magazines. My wife, she was so gracious. And she, of course, said thank you and smiled and all that kind of stuff. It was great. But I noticed after a while that she hadn't touched the chocolates or the magazines. So I was thinking to myself, like, what's going on here? And so I made audible my thoughts, and I just asked her. I said, hey, babe, I love you so much, but I've noticed you haven't touched your chocolates and the magazines. Here you go. I almost, like, re-gifted them to her in that moment. Like, here you go. I love you. I care about you. And again, gracious and sweet, and she ate a little nibble of the chocolate, and she thumbed through the magazines. But I found out later that what she was thinking in her mind is, you really don't know me so well yet, because this is not what I want. It's not what I want. In fact, it's not just her. I think you can understand with me that most people, when they're sick, they don't want dessert or chocolates. You know, they want comfort food. Like, give me some chicken noodle soup, some mashed potatoes, all that kind of stuff. So it wasn't just her, but that's what she was thinking. And also, she loves to read. She reads books and articles and all that kind of stuff. But when you're sick, you just kind of want to veg out, recuperate. She's like, baby, she tells me later on, like, I would just like you to go to Redbox and get me a movie. What am I trying to say? What have I learned years later? That because I didn't know her so well back then, I really couldn't help give her what she wanted. And I've learned years later that when she's sick on the rare occasion, she wants the chicken noodle soup. She wants me to call her up during the day if I'm here at the church building, and if I'm meeting with somebody in between meetings, to call her up and say, hey, how are you doing? Check on her, to help extra with the kids. I've learned, as I've gotten to know her more, I've learned that what she wants is different than what I thought she wanted. I'll say it to you this way: the more I got to know her, the more I got to know her heart. And it's the same way with God. The more you get to know God and what he's about and what he thinks about you, the more you get to know his heart and what he cares about and what he wants to happen in this world. The more time you spend with him, the more you get to know him, the more you understand his will for your life. Number two, the second point we see from the text is this: God's will is for you to live for him. It's for you to live for him. This is the beginning of verse 10, 10a, so that you may live a life worthy, not of your neighbor, not of your spouse, not of your boss, worthy of the Lord, and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. You see, when you truly surrender your life to Jesus, everybody hear me, this is important what I'm saying. When you truly give your life to Jesus, when you surrender all, you are now at the starting line of your faith and not the finish line. And people get that mixed up all of the time. They think that when I pray the sinner's prayer or the believer's prayer, whatever you want to call it, a lot of people think that that's the end and not the beginning. They almost see it as a get out of hell free card. That's how we view that kind of thing. And here's what I want to tell you. Please do not gloss over this. This is good theology. Hear this from my heart to yours. That if you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you put your belief and trust in him, that he died on the cross, that he rose from the dead, if you ask him to forgive you of your sins, you can know that you know that you know that you'll be saved. That's good theology, and I'm going to give you a chance to make that decision after service. We do it every single week. It's why we exist. It's our vision, heaven full and hell empty. It's what God wants for you. It's what we want for you because we love you. We care about you. That's good theology. But here's also good theology, that when you give your life to Jesus, it should change your life. If your life doesn't look any different, you should maybe question some things. God doesn't turn you into a different person. I'm not saying that. He doesn't change your personality. He'll use your personality. God does something on the inside of you. In fact, I wrote this down, and I would write this down if I was you. But when Jesus saves your soul and sets you free, it should change your life, not just your afterlife. I'm going to say that again. When Jesus saves your soul and sets you free, it should change your life, not just your afterlife. He died for you so you could live for him. So you should talk different, think different, live different, not to keep your salvation or earn it, because you can never earn it, but because you've got gratitude and you want to honor the one who gave you salvation. I'm preaching way better than y'all are helping me out this morning. Come on, somebody. I'll spit farther if I got to, but somebody's going to help me out. You should have a desire on the inside of you once you're authentically saved to take what Jesus has done in you and share it with everybody. This is the truth. I'm not saying you won't be scared. I'm not saying you won't have moments of timidity. I'm not saying any of that. But there should be a deep, God-given desire to take the good news that you've experienced and to share it with others. That it's not okay anymore for you to walk by your family, your coworkers, your friends that don't know Jesus. Why? Because you know the truth, and the truth has set you free. And guess what? It will set them free too. And so when you give your life to Jesus, it changes the game, not out of guilt, not out of obligation, not checking off boxes so God's happy. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a God-given innate desire that I have found freedom, and everybody else needs this freedom too. God's called you to live for him. He wants you to be holy. That means separated from what your life used to look like. He wants you to serve and give and love others passionately. It's God's will for you to live a holy life for him. I want you to realize this, and don't show it yet. I can't remember if we have a slide for this quote or not. But I got a quote that I think is going to really help somebody today. I don't know who to give credit for. Some people say it was Mark Twain. Others say it was a pastor before him. I don't know. But I think this is really powerful. And again, I don't know if it's on the slide. I forgot. But here's what it says. The two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you realize why you were born. I'm going to say that again. And we do have a slide. Praise God. Two most important days of your life. The day you were born and the day you realize why you were born. And here's what I know about church people. There are far too many church people that don't know why they were born. You don't know your purpose. You don't know your calling. That's why we do Growth Track, by the way. It starts that process. God's given you gifts and ability, some more than others. I feel like I'm one of those one gifts people, but maybe God's given you three or five. I don't know, but God's called you to use those gifts, not to pad your bank accounts, but to honor him and glorify him, to spread the good news, the gospel. So everybody in this room, you've been born, but many don't know why you were born. Think about it with me. Why were you born in the year that you were born and not 100 years before? Why were you born to your mom and dad? Well, Pastor Ryan, my mom and dad are a joke. They were never there for me. I was adopted. I was raised by somebody else that wasn't the same blood running through our veins. I get all of that, but I'm just saying there's a reason why you were born in the year that you were born, in the city you were born in, with the mom and dad you were born into, that family. There's a reason. There's a reason why you're naturally, and really it's supernaturally, but you're naturally gifted in certain areas. There's a reason behind it. We want to help you find that reason here at this church, why you were born, what God wants to do in you and through you. Number three, I've got a few of these. God's will is for you to never give up. I'm about to preach to somebody. God's will is for you to never give up. That's verse 11. I'm not just making these up on my own. This is the word of God. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Here's the truth that I know, that of all the people in this room and those listening online, there's at least one person that's thinking about giving up. I just know it. It's just a fact. I've met with too many people over the years of being a pastor. Of course, mainly not here in Houston and Dallas, but still, so many people that are thinking about giving up. And so if that's you, I want you to really listen in. I want you to really listen in, because there's some people listening. You're thinking about giving up on your marriage. There's some people listening. You're thinking about giving up on your kids. There's some people listening to that. I just believe it. You're thinking about giving up on your job or your business. You're thinking about giving up on your schooling. I just believe there could be some people listening today that you're thinking about giving up on your faith and on your life. And if that's you, I've got a word from God. Tune into this. This is a word. I don't normally say this. This is a word from God. God wants you to never give up. He wants you to never give up. If you started to pull out that white flag out of your pocket, you almost got it up to wave it, I want you to throw that thing away. If you thought about throwing in your towel, it's another illustration we use all the time, then I want you to take that thing and I want you to hide it away and move it away. I want you to burn that thing so you can never throw it in. God has called you. It's a word from God to you to never, ever, ever give up. There's far too many people that never finish their race. Never finished the race. In fact, I got a great story. I think you'll like it. True story. It's quick. But in 1968, the Olympics was in Mexico City. And there was a man, true story, named John Stephen. John Stephen, he was from Tanzania, Africa. So he had a good trip to get there to Mexico City. And John Stephen of Africa, he was an incredible marathon runner. Incredible. And not just that, but he had won many races in Africa, and so he easily qualified for the Olympics, 1968, in the city, or Mexico City there in Mexico. Easily qualified. So his country flies him over here to Mexico City. He gets on the starting line. It's him and 74 other marathon racers getting ready to start a race. And John Stephen, he begins to run that race, but here's a problem. It was a problem right away for him. You see, he had won all those races in Africa, but he was in a different environment there in Mexico City. So the problem was this, it was the altitude. He wasn't used to the altitude. Won many races, easily qualified, wasn't used to it. So very quickly, you can look this up for yourself, very quickly he begins to have severe cramping in all his muscles. I mean, this is like the race of his life. And severe cramping in all his muscles, to the point where he's barely moving forward. He's barely getting through this race. To make matters worse, not just that, but he has a collision with other runners in this race. They accidentally bump into each other. He falls down. He dislocates his knee. He scrapes his legs. He hurts his shoulder. So there he is, severe cramping, all of those bodily injuries, bloodied, beaten, but guess what? John Stephen keeps going. He keeps running his race. Now, people are passing him left and right, but here's what I love about his story. By the time that John Stephen finished, and he finished his race, he was the last one out of 57 who finished. Not just that, by the time he got to the, you know how they do the final lap actually in the stadium? By the time he got to his final lap, most people had already left. The winner finished over an hour before John Stephen. He was the last to finish. And I say all of that to read you this quick question that he got asked at the end of this race by a reporter. Here's what they asked him. They said, why didn't you quit when you were hurt and bruised and bloody and discouraged. Why didn't you quit? And I love his answer. My country didn't send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race. And I got to tell you today, God's brought you from too much stuff for you to stop short. God's done too much in your life for you to give up and throw in the towel. I've shared this many times, and I'll share it again. In fact, I shared it my first Sunday here at this church back in November. I've been here 11 months, and I shared it my first Sunday, and I'm going to say it again. But we actually have a motto in our family, and our last name is Weems, and so our motto is this: Weems never give up. Talk about this all the time. It's our family motto. It's instilled into our son, and he's just 5, and it will be into our baby girl. But Weems never give up. And it's not just a cute little thing. We've never made t-shirts, but we should. That would be cool. We've never done any of that. It's not on a plaque anywhere, but it's our motto. It's our mantra. Why? Because life is hard. Have you lived long enough to agree with me on that? That like life is difficult. It's challenging. If you haven't been through some stuff, you're just too young, because you will. Sorry, spoiler alert, it's gonna happen. Life is difficult. It's not easy. And there's gonna be many moments when we wanna give up, but God has called us to never give up. This is a word for somebody, I believe it today, and I could be wrong on this one. This isn't a thus saith the Lord, but I just feel this in my heart. I want you to listen in. But too often, I believe we quit right before the miracle. Too often, we quit right before the breakthrough. And God's saying, why don't you just hold on a little bit longer? Just one more lap, one step at a time. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Like whatever you got to do, just keep moving forward. God has called you to persevere and never get up. Give up. Can somebody say amen today? Can somebody help me out? Y'all are so quiet. Come on, somebody. I need some help today. I'm giving it my all. Number 4, God's will is for you to be thankful. For you to be thankful. God's will is for you to be thankful. Number 4, this is the 4th point. We see this in verse 12, giving joyful thanks to the Father. I believe this about Christians. If you're a Christian, I'm talking to you. But I believe Christians should be the happiest people on the planet. I believe that. I think there's biblical precedence for it. I just think it's the truth. But how many of you know, and don't point fingers, but how many of you know far too many Christians look like they've been sucking on a lemon all day? This is the truth. Far too many Christians look like they've had a bad day every day. And usually they got one good one a year, and you better hope at the time that you're interacting with them. Too many Christians are upset, frustrated, worried. And I got to tell you today that if you're a Christ follower, if you're not, you don't have to listen to this part. But if you're a Christ follower, you are a walking billboard for Jesus. It's the truth. It's a fact. Don't bother debating me. It is what it is. You are a walking advertisement for Jesus Christ, whether you like it or not. So here's what that means. That what you say, what you do, your attitude will either draw people to Jesus or push them away. There is no neutrality in this Christian walk. Just letting you know. So think about your life. Think about your attitude. Do people want to be more like Jesus because of you, or is it in spite of you? Like, think about it with me. So often we give Jesus a bad name, not because of anything he's ever done or said, but because of us representing him incorrectly. God's will is for us to be thankful, to have good attitudes. So if you're always complaining, if you're always negative, if the weather's always too hot or too cold, if you'd never have enough money, if your boss is always unfair, if you're always frustrated and whining, who would want to be a part of that? Like who? Are you telling me that if I give my life to Jesus, I'm going to look like that? Are you telling me that if I give my life to Jesus, that I'm going to do those sorts of things? Hard pass. No, thank you. So many of us, we're giving Jesus a bad name because we have this attitude that, man, everybody else needs to serve me and help me out. It's all about me. I think I tell you, we got eye problems, American Christianity. It's all about me, myself, and I. I got to remind some people today that what we've accepted what God has done in our lives, it's good news. It's good news. And I can't speak for you. I know a lot of you, but I don't know all of you. And I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. And as for me in my life, Jesus has saved me from some stuff. I mean, my life was messed up before Jesus. And if you were here today and you've been saved from some stuff, you would have gave me more than a golf clap, because you would realize that you were on your way to hell just like I was. And God rescued me. He saved me. Why are you so passionate, Ryan? Why do you scream? Are you always like that? I got to ask your wife. That's crazy. No, I'm not always like this. But when I preach God's word, I'm excited about it because it's changed me. If I had to get up here and tell you about the tin this and selling this product, I would not be as passionate. Because that product or those 10 things, they didn't save my life. Jesus saved my life. I was on my way to hell, and Jesus brought me back to life. And so when that happens, even if your life sucks, and yes, I said that on the mic, but even if your life is horrible, you still have one thing to praise God about, that he saved you. Well, marriage is falling apart, kids are away from God, or I can't find a spouse, or man, I went through a messy divorce. Am I ever going to find love again? I lost my job. This happened, that happened. Life is tough, but even if all of those things have happened in your life, you got one thing to praise him for and thank him for, and it's that he saved your soul. We should be thankful. What's God's will for my life? That you should be thankful. You should have gratitude. Number 5, this is my last one, and then we'll pray. God's will is for you to be saved. For you to be saved. We see this in verses 13 through 14. For he has rescued us, what I just talked about, from the dominion of darkness. He brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. And we have redemption, forgiveness of sins. I got to tell you today, friend, that God wants you to choose him. I believe it's a choice. God's chosen us, but he wants us to choose him. So today I want to give you a bold statement. Maybe you thought I've already said 10 bold statements, and that's okay. This is number 11. But I want to give you, in fact, just one or two more bold statements. And here's what I know. What I'm about to say, there may be some people in this room that disagree, and that's okay. But here's some bold statements. Here's my belief. I believe that it's God's will for you to know him, live for him, persevere, be thankful, and be forgiven of your sins. I believe that, and I think we just saw that in the Bible. But if all of that's true, here's what I also believe. I believe the opposite is also true. So if you don't know him, if you aren't living for him, if you're about to give up, if you're not thankful, and if you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus, I believe you're not in God's perfect will. So today you're gonna have a chance to make some changes there. Here's what I've learned. Last thing I'll say, and then we're gonna pray. Here's what I've learned. That if you love God, if you care about him, if you're seeking to serve him and live for him, to give your life to him, if that's you, then everything that you do, all the decisions that you make, as they're filtered through that, you'll be in God's will. As you love him, as you serve him, as you put him first, God will take any situation, any decision, he'll work in you and through you, because he knows your heart. And guess what? You know his heart. So today you don't have to leave this place just, oh man, I don't want to make the wrong decision. Oh, do I take that new thing, or do I stay in what I'm currently doing? Do I pop the big question with this person? Like, are they the one? Or do I move on to someone else? If you're here listening today and you've got a big decision, filter it all through what I just said. That as you seek God and you know God and you love God, he will guide your steps. So often we freak out, did I choose the right shirt? Did I go to the right store? Just rest in the fact that you're leaning into God, that you're pouring your heart into him. He'll help you. He'll guide you. It doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be overly complicated. He'll work in you and through you. I want you to close your eyes, bow your heads all across this place. No one talking, please, but me. Underneath your breath and really just in your mind and your heart, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me today? Which of these points, which of these five things from your word, which of them is something I need to take to heart? As you create space for God to speak to you, He is faithful to do just that. God, I pray for your people today. I pray, God, that you would help them in every way that they need help. If they're here today and they really don't know you, maybe they're just beginning a relationship with you. Maybe they were pouring into you at one time and there's been some separation. Maybe years have passed and they need to get to know you again. I pray, God, that you would speak that to them today. God, if there's anybody here that maybe they said a prayer, but their life, they're not living for you. Maybe they viewed that prayer as the finish line, but God, you're speaking to their heart right now that it's actually the starting line. This is where they begin in their spiritual journey with you. And if that's somebody, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would speak that now. God, I pray for anyone underneath the sound of my voice that's thinking about giving up, whether it be on a relationship, whether it be on their faith, or maybe even on their life. I just pray, God, that they would hear this holy word from you, that you've called them to not give up, to persevere, to continue on in their race. May they not quit before the breakthrough. May they not quit before the miracle. I pray for anyone today listening in, that if they look at their life and they look at their attitude, and God, they haven't been thankful. They've been focused on themselves and not others. They've been looking at the glass half empty. They've almost been searching for things to whine about and complain about. And it's that negativity. It's almost like a cancer. It attacks us and it moves throughout our bodies and our minds. I just pray, if that's anyone today, would you reveal that Holy Spirit, that you're calling them to better attitudes, to better thinking, to better living, to have an attitude of gratitude in all things, good and bad, that they would look for how you're moving and how you're working. And I pray lastly, and I believe most importantly, number five, if there's anyone underneath the sound of my voice here in this room or listening online, that they are far from you. They look at their life and they look at the thoughts and they look at their actions and they can just see clearly that they are not in a right relationship with you, God. I pray today would be their day. That just like you saved my soul as I surrendered my life to you, that they would experience that here today. And the excuses, they run through our mind. Well, my life is too messed up. I've done too much. If you only knew, Pastor. If you're thinking those things today, hear God speak this over you. That even though your sin is great, God's love is greater. Jesus didn't come to save that which was found. He came to save that which was lost. He came to rescue sinners like me and like you. So eyes closed, no one looking around, please. This is you, me, and God right now. But if you're here today, it's the most important part of our service, and we're right on time, so don't you dare worry about that. But if you're here listening and you're saying, that's me, I'm far from God and I want to get my life right with Him. It's not a to-do list. It's not three steps, then do this fourth step tomorrow. No, just right here and right now, you can surrender your life to Jesus and He will come in like a flood and save your soul. So if that's you, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you stand or slide you off to some room, but right where you're seated, if you're far from God, but you want to get your life right with Him, could you raise your hand so I can see it today? Thank you so much. Anyone else? God, God, you're so good. Thank you so much. Anybody else? If you're listening online, please participate as well. God sees you. He knows you. Here's what we want to do. Eyes still closed. I'm going to give those that raised their hand a moment ago here in this room or listening online, I want to give you a chance to respond. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you can be saved. So that's what I'm going to give you a chance to do. And the Christ followers in this room, they're going to say this prayer out loud as well as support to give you courage and confidence that you are not alone. In fact, that's one of the big reasons why church exists, that we can live this life together. That when you fall, I pick you up. When I fall, you pick me up. That we encourage each other to move forward towards the things of God. So that's what we're going to do right now. So those that raised their hand a moment ago, and all the Christians as support, I'm going to ask you to say this prayer out loud after me and mean it with all your heart. It's not about volume. It's about your belief. Say this after me. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you're speaking to me in this moment. And so right now, I put my faith, my trust in you. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead. And I ask you right now to forgive me of every sin, of every mistake. I make you the Lord of my life. Jesus, I understand that right now I'm starting this journey, not finishing. Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my past. I give you my present. And I give you my future. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can you clap your hands and celebrate? If you're able, please stand to your feet with me. A few more things and then we'll dismiss. For those that raised their hand a moment ago, and I share this each time that somebody gives their life or rededicates their life to the Lord, but we've got in the back these Start Bible kits. There's a letter inside, not this one, but the ones in the back. There's a connection card in there. Please pick one of these up. No questions asked. This will help you start your journey. The second thing I wanted to share is that here in just a moment from now, myself and a few others before Growth Track starts, we'll be down here to pray for you. And just a friendly reminder that as we're praying up here, if you have children, I know I've got children, and if you need a fellowship, we'd love that you do that. But please do that in the back of the auditorium, in the lobby or fellowship hall, just to kind of honor the space up here. We'd really appreciate it. Third thing, as I've shared many times today, we've got Growth Track in about 15 minutes from now in our fellowship hall. And we've got a lot of people signed up for that, but we purposefully made room for you. And so if you're here today, we got childcare covered, snacks, food for the kids, all that kind of stuff. We'd really encourage you to hang out for a bit. I lead that and love to share with you more about where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. And lastly, number four, I'm going to say the joke one more time, but bring your pom-poms next week, okay? Because next week is Vision Sunday. And if I could just give you an honest grade, I'll give you about a 50 today on Amen and Me. All right, just letting you know. Okay, and I'm going to keep getting on you because God's called us to celebrate. It's not a personality thing. It's a thankfulness of what God's done in our life. So next week, have two cups of coffee if you've got to. Drink a Red Bull, but get ready to celebrate. I'm telling you. And not just that, but if you know somebody that wasn't here, that this is their church home, make sure they're here next week because this is a family service. It's going to be awesome what God does and how we celebrate what he's done. But also, look, I got some big announcements. It's going to be awesome next week for Vision Sunday. I love you so much. We'll see some of you at Growth Track and hopefully all of you next week. Besides that, you are dismissed. God bless you. Have a great rest of your day.